Well, good morning and welcome again to Level 13. I want to say a special welcome to those of you who are joining us online. We're so glad that you're with us for week two of what originally was going to be a three-week series called God Never Said That. But after spending some time thinking and praying this week and talking with our team, we've decided we're going to extend this series a couple more weeks into five-week series because we were just convinced that there are several things that we needed to address, several topics or ideas, cultural beliefs that we wanted to address that God gets credit for, but quite honestly were things that he never actually said. Now, last week, if you missed, we started this thing off by talking about this idea that above all else, God wants us happy. That above everything else, that's his highest priority. And we said, God never said that. It sounds good. Man, we would like for that to be true, but God never said that. In fact, God's highest priority isn't our happiness at all. It's holiness. God's highest priority for us isn't happiness. It's holiness. So that's where we were last week. Next week, we're going to take a look at this idea that it doesn't matter what I do as long as I don't hurt anybody else. Cultural belief that sounds really good, but God never said that. Week four, I'm convinced, is quite possibly the most important message in this series. And so I would encourage everyone, invite as many people as you can, have them tune in online, whatever, however they can get their hands on this, because that cultural belief that we're going to address in week four is it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. God never said that either. And then week five, we're going to end this thing up by something that could be a little bit controversial, a little bit misleading, a little bit, whoa, hang on, because the Bible actually does say this. We're going to talk about this idea that God tells us not to judge. We're going to say that essentially God didn't say that either. So I want to encourage everybody to be back over the next 3 weeks. I think this is going to be a really, really good opportunity for us to grow and to learn a little bit more about what God's Word actually says instead of some of the cultural beliefs that we've heard all throughout our lives. Now, this morning, where we're going to land is this statement, this idea that is well-intentioned. Whether we grew up around church or not, chances are most of us have heard this. In fact, some of us in the room may even have said this ourselves. Where we're going to land this morning is this idea that God will never give us more than we can handle. Again, that sounds like an awesome, awesome thing. And we want to grab onto that. We want to hold that because, man, that sounds good. And I understand even where it comes from. There's this guy named Paul who was a big deal in the early church. He traveled around starting churches, preaching the gospel, placing pastors in leadership in these different churches. He was instrumental in the launch of the early church and it spreading across the world. And he wrote letters. And many of his letters made their way into our English Bibles in the New Testament. One particular letter he wrote was to a group of Jesus followers in the city of Corinth. And he wrote this letter and he made this statement in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. He says, "And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand." Some translations say it this way. "But God is faithful, and he will not allow you to be tempted above that which you're able to bear," or "that which you're able to stand underneath," is the imagery there that we see. And that is so awesome to read. But what we have to understand, the key component, is to recognize that there's a difference between temptations and troubles. There's a difference between temptation and storm, temptation and trial. That's the key component. We have to recognize the difference between those two. James, the half-brother of Jesus, also wrote a letter, and he was incredibly creative when he titled it. He called it James. And in his letter that made its way into our New Testament, he talks about temptation. And here's what he had to say starting in James chapter 1, verse 12. He says, "God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him." Verse 13. "And remember, when you are being tempted, do not say, 'God is tempting me.' God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone else. Verse 14. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. James speaks specifically about temptation, and it's something that comes from within us. It's our own evil desires. It's our own sinful nature that drags us away and entices us and drags us away. And God did say, I'll not let the temptation be more than you can handle. And he followed it up. He said, but with every temptation, I'll offer you a way of escape. He'll offer like a door, an escape hatch, an escape route. Somebody will show up and help us get out from and under that temptation. We don't have to give in, but we have to choose not to give in to that temptation. But temptation is something that comes from inside of us, our own evil desires. More often than not, the things that are going on around us, the trials and the storms, those are out of our control. Those circumstances are beyond our control. Temptations come from the desires within us. Trials and storms and struggles, they're out of our hands. You know, it's a diagnosis that we never expected. It's walking into the office where we've been an employee for years, only to discover that they don't need our services anymore. It's a house fire that destroys everything. Those things are beyond our control. And in those moments, isn't it true that we feel overwhelmed? Like, God, this is too much. I can't handle this. This is more than I can handle. It would be awesome if it were true that God never gives us more than we can handle. But I think a truer statement would be, more often than not, God allows us to experience more than we can handle. But why? Why would he allow us to experience those things? Well, I want to give a little bit of context before we even look at the why. Jesus himself told us that we were going to have problems. In the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus makes this statement. He says, I've told you this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. But take heart, because I won't let you experience more than you can handle. It's not what he said. He says, but take heart, because I've overcome the world. Not take heart that I've made you strong enough to handle it on your own. Take heart because I have conquered the world. I've overcome the world. You're going to have problems. There'll be some difficulties. There'll be some struggles. But I've overcome the world. I think about stories throughout Scripture, stories from the Old Testament and the New Testament that kind of bear this out. I think about a guy named David who was the greatest king Israel has ever known. He was such a godly man that God said of this guy, David, he said, that's a man who's after my heart. That's a man that I'm pleased with. David experienced this overwhelming feeling. He recorded it in Psalm chapter 38. He says this, my guilt overwhelms me. He had sinned against God. He says, my guilt overwhelms me. It is a burden too heavy to bear. I am exhausted and completely crushed. My groans come from an anguished heart. God, this is more than I can stand. My guilt is too much for me. I think about a guy named Gideon that we read about in Judges chapter 6 who had an encounter with God. God said, Gideon, I want you to go and deliver your people from the Midianites who have been ravaging your nation for as long as you can remember. And Gideon's response, his reply in Judges chapter 6 is, how can I rescue Israel? God, how can I do this? My clan is the weakest in the entire tribe of Manasseh, and I am the least in my entire family. God, this is bigger than me. This is more than I can handle. God, I can't do this. I think about a guy named Moses who was called by God to go back to Egypt to deliver God's people. And all throughout Exodus chapter 3, we hear story after story after story of why Moses can't do this. Hey, I killed a man in Egypt. I can't show my face there. I can't be the voice of revolution. I can't be the voice of freedom. I can't even speak well. I have a speech impediment. God, I can't do this. This is too much for me. Even Jesus himself experienced overwhelmed feelings and emotions. In another account of the gospel, we read in the book of Mark, this story of Jesus interacting with some of his disciples. In Mark chapter 14, Jesus took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. He says, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." God, I'm overwhelmed. Guys, I feel like this is bigger than anything that I can do in and of myself. Jesus himself felt that. So the question remains, if it's a true statement that more often than not, God will allow us to experience more than we can handle, why? Why would God allow that for us? Why would God allow us to experience more than we could handle? And while there could be a number of reasons, for the sake of our conversation this morning, I want to make mention of two. First reason that I believe God allows us to experience more than we can handle is so that we can learn to depend on his presence. So that we can learn to lean in to his presence. Now, isn't it true that when life is going well, when the bills are paid, there's money in the bank, we got the promotion, that person that we're interested in said yes to the date, whatever it is, when things are going well, isn't it true that it's kind of easy to forget about God? Now, we don't consciously forget about him, but when things are going well, it's easy to kind of put God up on a shelf and say, "Hey, you know, I still want you to be a part of my life, but I'm going to put you up here out of the way just a little bit, because really, right now, I don't need you. Things are going so well in my life. I really don't need you. So just sit up here. You're still a part." But then when difficulties come, when struggles and trials and tribulations and problems show up, there's something inside of us that just cries out, is desperate and longs for the presence of God. Even those who maybe don't have a relationship with God, oftentimes, when they're experiencing that overwhelmed state, what's one of the first things that they'll say? "Oh, God." There's something innate in us. There's something deep in us that calls out for the presence of God in the midst of that overwhelmed sensation, that overwhelmed feeling, whether we have a relationship with him or not. And so I'm convinced that God allows us to experience those things so that we'll call out and depend on his presence. Think about a guy named Jonah, who was a prophet in the Old Testament. Jonah was given a task by God. God gave him a message. He said, "Jonah, go to Nineveh. I want you to share the gospel. I want you to share the good news. I want you to tell them to repent, to turn from their sin, or else their city is going to be destroyed." When Jonah hears this story, he says, "Nope, I'm not going." To put it in modern day terms, Jonah was a racist. He hated the people from Nineveh. He would rather watch them die than share the good news that there was salvation available for them. And man, could we park right there for a few minutes and talk about the culture we live in today. But that's for another time. We'll go back to that. Jonah's desire was he was going to go as far away from Nineveh as possible. He went and he cashed in. He got a ticket. He got on a boat. He said, "I'm out of here, man. I'm not going to Nineveh, and you can't make me." That's a stupid thing to say to God. And he found out really quickly. While he's on this boat, there's a storm that comes out of nowhere. So he's on a boat in the middle of a storm, and the only way to get the storm to calm down is for the people to throw him overboard. And as he's thrown overboard, the storm breaks, things look good, and then a giant fish comes up and swallows him, and he's in the belly of a giant fish. And I don't know about anybody else, but that doesn't sound like things are going really well. That sounds pretty bad. Look what he says in Jonah chapter 2 when he recalls everything that was taking place. He says, in my distress, I called on the Lord and he answered to me. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you. It's like, oh yeah, God, I put you up on that shelf. Like when things were going well, you were up there and I didn't have to follow what you wanted me to do. But now that my life is ebbing away, now that my life is being sucked away and I'm in the belly of this fish, I cried out to God and my prayer rose to you. I remembered you, God. There's something about that overwhelmed feeling that causes us to just need the presence of God. So oftentimes I'm convinced God allows us to be overwhelmed so that we can experience that desire and we learn to depend on his presence. We could say it another way. God allows us to be overwhelmed to remind us that we need him. He allows us to experience that feeling of being overwhelmed to remind us, hey, you still need me. You don't have it all figured out. You're not strong enough on your own. The second reason that I think God allows us oftentimes to be overwhelmed is so that we can experience his power. It's so that we can know his power is real and is effective in our lives. Now, we talked earlier about this guy named Paul who was such a big deal in the early church. He wrote a lot of those letters, and he wrote a letter to the church in Corinth, and then he wrote a second letter to the church in Corinth. And in his second letter, he talks about something that he personally experienced, something he went through. Now, if anyone would have been on the list to experience a life without problems, a life without more than they could handle, Paul would have been close to the top of the list. He did so many things to start the early church, to see the growth of the early church take place. God used him in such incredible ways. It makes sense that he would have been towards the top of that list. That, you know what? It's going to be good for Paul. He's not going to have any struggles. He's not going to have any problems. And yet he talks about this thing. He calls it a thorn in the flesh. He writes about, and we don't know what that thorn in his flesh was. Some scholars, people a lot smarter than me, think maybe it had something to do with he was going blind because he dictated a lot of the letters that he wrote and he had someone else to do all the writing and then he would sign it at the bottom in his own handwriting. Other scholars believe that maybe it was some other kind of chronic illness. It doesn't even really matter what it was. What it matters is that he called it a thorn in his flesh and he said, this tormented me. This was more than I could handle. And look what he writes about in 2 Corinthians 12:8. He says, 3 different times I begged the Lord to take it away. And I want to stop there for a second. We read that and we think, man, that's pretty serious. He prayed 3 times. That's not what that means. That means he had 3 intense seasons of seeking God. He was seeking after God's deliverance from this thing. I begged God. I pleaded with God, one translation say, God, take this thing away from me. I can't handle this. And he goes on to reveal God's answer in verse 9. He said, each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. And then he says, so now I'm glad to boast about my weakness, so that the power of Christ can work through me. Verse 10. That's why I take pleasure in knowing that I'll never have more than I can handle. That's not what he said. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles. All the things that I suffer for Christ, for when I am weak, then I'm strong. Paul said, I'm experiencing all of these things, and they're more than I can handle, but God's word to me was, my grace is all you need, because my power works best in weakness. He didn't say we wouldn't experience difficulty. He didn't say that we wouldn't have troubles or problems. God never said, I won't give you more than you can handle. Oftentimes, God allows us to experience more than we can handle. He allows us to be overwhelmed to remind us that we need him. He didn't say it's going to be an easy life for you, that you're going to be strong enough. See, when we buy into the lie that God will never give us more than we can handle, essentially what we're saying, maybe without ever saying it, is we're saying, God, I don't need a Savior because I'm strong enough to save myself. These shoulders are strong enough to carry the weight of everything. Let me have it. Bring what you got. I've got this. I'm strong enough. And that's just a lie, in my opinion, from the pits of hell. Because we were never created to be strong enough. We were created to need God's power. We were never created to do this by ourselves. We were created to lean in to the God who is so much greater than we are. The good news for us is that even though we experience things that overwhelm us, there is a God in heaven that we can know personally who is never overwhelmed by anything, who is strong enough, who is powerful enough, whose presence is real enough that we don't have to carry the weight on our own. So what's the response for us this morning? Where do we go from here? Our response is to lean into him. When we feel overwhelmed, lean into him. Experience his presence. Maybe for some of us in the room who are feeling overwhelmed this morning, the first step is to surrender to Jesus for the first time. To say, God, I've been trying to do this thing all by myself for too long. I need your strength. I can't do this. I can't make it. I'm not strong enough. I'm not good enough. I was never created to be. I need you, Jesus. Maybe for others of us in the room who are feeling a little bit overwhelmed this morning, maybe our first step is like Jonah, to remember that we've put God on a shelf, that things have been going well, but now things are not going so well, and I'm going to remember you, Lord, and let my prayer rise to you. God, I'm going to cry out to you because I need your presence and your power real in my life. Maybe for others of us in the room who are feeling a little overwhelmed, maybe our response is like that of Paul's. When we glory, when we boast in our weaknesses, because it's in our weaknesses that the power of God is manifest in us and through us, and sometimes more importantly, to us. God never said, I won't give you more than you can handle. In fact, the contrary is true. Oftentimes, we're going to experience more than we can handle. He allows us to be overwhelmed to remind us that we need him. So this morning, wherever we may be, wherever we may land this morning, know that we need God, that we were never meant to do this alone, and that he's willing and he's able to carry the weight of the burdens that we can't carry on our own. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you that you are strong enough. Thank you, Jesus, that we don't have to be. That we don't have to be strong enough. We don't have to have the ability to carry things on our own. Thank you, God, that you didn't say, I'll never give you more than you can handle. But instead, you let us know that you are there. And that when we're overwhelmed, when we have more than we can handle, God, we can lean into you. We can call on your name. We can cry out for your presence. We can experience your power. We can remember, God, that we need you. In this room this morning, God, I pray for anyone that feels overwhelmed today. I pray that this moment would be the opportunity to experience freedom. God, you never said you wouldn't give us more than we could handle. you did say you will always be with us. That we can trust you and we can lean into you. Father, thank you for that truth. Would you speak to us and would you heal hearts in this place this morning? In Jesus' name I pray.